Blog Talk Radio.
I would like to remind you that life is alive.
Visions.
And it knows exactly what you need to help you overcome all the pain and strife that's inside. Sometimes you have to witness darkness to brighten your eyes. And go beyond duality to see the hidden oneness in this life you divide. Through every high and low, you have to approach life with an equal mind. Have the greatest faith and know that the grace of God will never leave your side. Although we are but little waves on the sea of time, we all possess that light of Christ that helps us realign and be divine. To truly find peace of mind, you have to be willing to go deep inside and fall in love with yourself and let that love be your guide. Only then will you find peace of mind and be sublime. Be sublime. Gotta take it one day at a time. Ayy, they dedicated to stay on your grind. Ayy, I know they hate, don't pay them no mind. Ayy, these sacrifices, they gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. Yeah, gotta take it one day at a time. They gon' pay out. Life is filled with so many trials and so many tribulations and so many tests. So many things that you have to overcome within to shine without. You know? And I've been broke so many times. And I lost hope so many times. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Man, I've cried plenty times. Plenty nights when I didn't see no finish line. In my sight still I grind, grind, grind. 24/7. Grind, 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 7 through 7. One day gon' pay out. Can't take a day out. Working them night shifts. And then I got laid out. I had to get it. I had to get on my grind and get out my feelings. Who am I kidding? Asking myself like, why is you chilling? Why is you chilling? I'm sacrificing my sleep. I'm manifesting these dreams. Andrea, understand the nature of this reality. Or this pseudo-reality. You are a cosmic thought. You are a vibration of thought. Your soul existence rests on a thought. And thus, if you wish to change anything in your reality, you must change your thoughts and have your actions aligned with those thoughts. You are not the universe, but you are the cosmos. Gotta take it one day at a time. Hey, they dedicated to stay on your grind. Hey, I know they hate. Don't pay them no mind, yeah. These sacrifices, they gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. Yeah, gotta take it one day at a time. They gon' pay out.
Gotta take it one day at a time, homie. They dedicated and stay on your grind, homie. I know they hate. Don't pay them no mind, homie. Sacrifices, they gon' pay off in time, homie. Gotta take it one day at a time, baby. They dedicated and stay on your grind, baby. I know they hate, don't pay on no mind, baby. These sacrifices, they gon' pay off in time, baby. Gotta take it one day at a time, homie. Gotta take it one day at a time, baby. Gotta take it one day at a time, homie. Gotta take it. Day at a time, baby. It gon' pay out. It gon' pay out. It gon' pay out. I promise it gon' pay out.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right. Royal day, everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio.
Peru, the Seven Oracle presentation. All right. So, guys, what I wanted to do in the wee hours of the morning, I rarely come on the wee hours, but sometimes I do, and rejuvenating my own spirit and soul. sometimes I'm up and I feel creative, you know, to create a radio podcast, you know, for the world to leave the breadcrumbs, you know, to those who will come after me, and you know, just for you guys to put things together and put things into perspective. So these are the intentions of these particular broadcasts. Today, Bobby Hinman, which is one of the original, I feel, one of the original 23 scientists, you know, how we reincarnate over and over again. Reincarnation, right? So there's going to be also a podcast, the 23, you know, who were the original 23 scientists? I don't know. But anyway, this particular one is just because I think understanding the death realm, understanding death, you know, in a whole new, not a new perspective, you know, quite old, but understanding it in a perspective that is that differs from what, you know, we choose to understand. You know what I mean? So anyway, guys, without further ado, we're just going to hop right into it. I may be back clip in the show notes because the clip is over 3 hours long. This radio podcast only gives us 3 hours. So at some point I'm going to have to cut it, but the YouTube clip will be in the show notes for you guys to go back and reference later, all right? All right, guys, I will be back to close out the podcast, and you guys enjoy. And here we are.
Well, we're in the Black Occult Think Tank.
Right,
is what it is. Black
Occult Think Tank. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys too. Please pardon the ad. The what they have done now is that they have created ads in which, you know, they have to insert their reality. You know what I'm saying? Because in order to keep their reality alive, they have to, you know, attempt to sway or influence it into your mind some kind of way. So what they have created now is what we call ads. And they use these 5-second ads, you know, which are very annoying. You know what I mean? But they use this to imprint into your subconscious. So please, if you can, stay focused and discard the ads. But, yeah, the ads will possibly be all up and through, you know, in order to distract. But I want to encourage the listening audience to stay focused. Thank you.
And the title is The Afterlife, Through the Gates of Death.
Wow.
And we're going to kick it up with a little bit Through the Gates of Death. We'll go to the origin of this death. We'll go to kick it around with different concepts of what's going to happen after we die, or what's going to happen after we transform, and no questions are too big. So, too big or too small. So right now what I'm going to do is give a shout out and report, give me my alcohol, even a smaller bottle, you'll spit to the... Yeah, that shit is gone. Oh, shit, I forgot. I'm amongst Negroes.
Just a few years ago, you could read 3 newspapers or watch 3 cable networks and make sense of
that. Yep. Negroes and alcohol. You know how you go to a party and half of the alcohol is drank up and niggas go home. All right. Okay. Here's going to give a couple of shout-outs to the Palos and a little bit of the West African Congo deities. We're going to give a shout-out to Lakshmi, East India, and Vishnu, and Shiva, and Shiva, Shakti, Parvati, Sati, Krishna, Radha, Jalahadra, Balarama, Durga, Kali, Tara, Ganesha, you know, Lilith, we got Lilith sitting here, African Venus, one aspect of it from the Dahomey, African Venus from Ethiopia right here, Teheru, Osa, Aset, Zarabanda, Mama Chola, Maja Diagua, Maja Delula, La Santissima Muerte, La Spiritus and Tranquilla, Mama Chola, San Simone, Francisco Siete Reyes, Santissima Pedro Eman, El Cristo Negro, El Cristo Rey, Muresh, Anuva, Tahuti, Sachet, Sekhmet, Mayat, Sikhan, Shaitan, Sikhan, Awas, Obas, Iwas, Electos, Lam, Tayamat, Kingu, Mamu, Aragdi, Dionysus, Baka, Faini, Eros, Psyche, Sachet, Selket, Mamu, Astal, Labado, Otinka, Tiacha, Sheola, Shimala, Omagumu, Alcala, Lopeo, Kakambo, Oralensu, Lalila, Xanthi, Sassimbo, Misabab, Isala, Althea, Lokeo, Babylonia, Babylon, I see Aya, Ayo, Isadora, Buddha, Alat, Layla, Lilith, Layla 2, Sophis, Anakin, Sakis, Nebet, Uajet, Kundalini, Lalita, Yama, God of Death, Ama, Neama, Nomo, Nomo, Yugaru, Mut, Nuk, Apit, Tyrus, Sutnesi, Sutnubit, Setes, Sudhan, Nuk, Hadit, Rahar, Kewit, Hamaku, Eru, Sep, Eru, Bahutit, Hamakis, Lahu, Laamu, Nim, Nenavis, Muntu, the Cthulhu, Shindigarap, Hastar, Yosathos, Lilith Hotep, Azazel, Samaza, Azos, Gaia, Okanos, Titans, Asuras, Vertra, Amun-Ra, Amun-Rimpensa, Neteris, Nibiru, Nephilim, Kalipa, Tunnels of Set, Amenta, the Underworld, Gaia, Okanos, Hercules, Perseus, Jason, Medea, Demeter, Persephone, Arazi, Phanes, Azuli, Ban Samadhi, Brigitte, Papagade, Simbi, Dam Haloedo, Adoedo, Congo, Petro, Rada, Nakumpa, Umbelenga, and Kula Kulu, Tutu, Tutu, Umbaba Uwawa, Pazuzu, Pazuzu, Pazuzu. We're going to deal with that. Divi, 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 the Great Mother, and all forms of the Great Mother. So we're going to kick it around like that. Aphrodite, Anana, Astarte, Sabbath, Metatron, Metronet, and at this particular time, we're going to have an informal, impromptu type of information on certain things pertaining to death, certain things pertaining to people call the demiurge and the enemy. We're going to identify the demiurge and the enemy, which means it is they'll put the decoy, the white boy, in front of us, and everybody that's been oppressed by the white boy around the world, that's enlightened, focus on the white boy, the white man, the white man. But there are some gods behind the white man, or otherwise the white man wouldn't be. You see what I'm saying? If there's forces that can kill up thousands of people in a couple of seconds, then that means the only reason why the white boy is allowed to be a predator on the planet is because there has to be a fatality of God that allowed him to do that. And we're in this whole cosmic warfare, so we'll get with that later. Right now, what we want to do is we want to deal with certain things with the afterlife and certain things about death and different things. So we're going to have Brother Panic here that has a lot of the questions written down, and he's going to say some questions. And feel free to jump in at any time. And we'll see what it is. This is interesting here because death is a balance out of slavery of reincarnation for a few minutes. You see what I'm saying? If you didn't have death, you couldn't have life. You couldn't have a cyclical type of energy. You would have to have a certain balance. And it is the balance out of the grip of a certain entities that put us down here for slaves. We'll get into all that type of thing and all of that also, too. You see, now it's interesting because if you are on the other side of death,
it's the inventory overstock sell-off. That lazy boy. Here he is, and save up to 50%.
Because if you're on the other side of death, you know that the living world is death. And somehow, if you you reincarnate from that world into this world again, the others mourn the death of you in their world. And the birth of you in this world. Everything is reversed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? That's why the Egyptians say foolish are the long lived. That's why you don't see a lot of old people on the monuments. You know, on the monuments and stuff like that. No, but again, that's not really saying anything because these people had the knowledge to regenerate themselves so they could live 200 damn years. You know what I'm saying? Especially you talk about pre-dynastic on back. When Manetho said, he said, well, there's roughly about 8,000 years of God, and 8,000 years of pre-dynastic, and 8,000 years of dynastic. He said, 3,000 years of pre-dynastic and another 5,000 years of dynastic. He said, roughly about 8,000 to 9,000 years. And they asked him, well, who used to rule before then? He said, that was a whole bunch of gods used to rule. Well, that was a time, even in the point before we became even the point where we first got trapped into the physical, for thousands of years we could regenerate ourselves and live as long as we want to. Now we know this is because as late as 18th century and early 19th century India, who kept some of these particular mystery schools open, they got accounts of people living 300 years old and only looking like they're in their 40s. And they had people that would live this long because they didn't have a great teacher to come behind in the school to lead the school of yogis to the people behind. So that particular teacher had to continue living until they got a teacher adept and suitable enough and astute enough to take over. So he would just have to live until they would get one up to speed. And you see, you know, so they can live up to 300 years. Just waiting on the suitable teacher, you see, and just regenerating themselves. I should have got the book out there to show you exactly how that works. They got a woman we got in this group that looks like she's 30, but she's 70. She's 71. You see what I'm saying and all, and it was remarkable. So we know that this can actually happen. This could actually happen. But I'm quite sure when the Egyptians say so foolish on a long live, they were talking about when you get to the point where you got to walk in a walker and wear a bag on the side, you might as well check yourself on out. You see what I'm saying and all. You know, it's bad enough living down this motherfucker young, excuse this expression. Especially in these modern times when everything is based on capitalism. You see what I'm saying and all. You know, based on capitalism. You know, so it's a certain thing. So we're going to deal with that. We're gonna kick this over to Brother Panic, but also, like I said, all you brothers can feel free to jump in. But on the other hand, Death is the New Frontier. In 1999, I did a whole year on death in a lot of the tapes. Death is the New Frontier. It is the light in the other room that will come on after this light is extinguished. The only difference was is that particular realm hadn't matured to the maximum of what it's going to be. Well, believe it or not, I know at least from 2001 up to now, the other realm, the underworld, the Amenta, these different mystical names, they have had a series of initiations or a series of what they call not inaugurations, a series where they have these great parties. What would be the word for that? Where they have these great parties, they have these great ceremonies of a new birthing. And it'll come to me in a minute, but in so many words, they have a... It's not a commencement. It's like you... the word will come to me is it's a great celebration. It's a great celebration. It's a great birthday. It's a great party that is going on, and it'll come to me in a minute and stuff. They talk about it in the Book of the Dead, where they just you just see endless amounts of tables of food.
Should you believe
it
somehow?
Mm-hmm. Not tributes, not jubilees. It's another word that encapsulates all of that. Coronation. Coronations.
Right.
And so they have all these coronation parties. And I've seen these parties. I was able to travel in my dreams and see these particular parties on the other side. So what used to be a gloomy and dismal type of terrain is now a beautiful and bright place. So it means that we are standing on the border from looking at this world that is being extinguished, and there's another world on the horizon that is already for us. So they say, I have prepared a kingdom for you. Well, that particular realm is that particular realm has been prepared. Every now and then we bump into these realms. There's a book called Dancing with Dragons by DJ Conway. And they said these mystical beings do exist, but every now and then we will see these. That mystical realm will bump into this realm. And that's when you get these mystical beings, they call them the chupacabras and stuff down in Mexico and different things like that, the Loch Ness Monster, Mothman prophecies, and these particular mystical beings people see. UFOs is nothing but seeing these particular energies, light energies from the other side and stuff like that. And this earth is full of mystical things that's been unreported by science, because they're not allowed by the governments of the world to report these strange and bizarre creatures. But there's a book that was put out in the early 1900s. Charles Fort is his name, I think, of mysterious beings and stuff. So dragons, fairies. You get the movie Photographing Fairies. There's another one called A Fairy Tale, A True Story. And also the fairy kingdom, when you see these movies like the Santa Claus, the elf, gnomes, and all those things, they're nothing but different aspects of the other world. Now, I witnessed one of these coronations in 2002, where I saw these two people come out of the back of a kitchen, but like we was in some club. So in so many words, the dream realm will fit the terrain or the setting to coincide with based on what you are familiar with in this world, to send a picture. So what would be a coronation or a celebration or a festival in the other world?
Sylvania's headlight experts want to demonstrate just how much visibility your car's headlight bulbs can lose before burnout.
Or a festival in the other world. We sitting in a club with a bunch of black folks, drinking, eating, having a good time. And out of the back of the kitchen, these little short, dwarf, claw people came out of the back of the kitchen. And they had their face, their skin was actually made out of what you would call mud cloth or kente cloth. and different things that they have in the fabrics of Africa. This was the actual skin. And I don't know whether it was that, whether it was Sharon sending me a message to say, now you are these otherworldly beings. What is interesting here, part of, this is very key, and this is in the mythology, and this is in a lot of the esoteric works, you will have things like elves, gnomes, spirits, demons, ghouls, and goblins, and then you get this word, subterranean pygmies. So we already identified the pygmy is the derogatory term of what the white man called the swamp people. But for the mere fact they have, out of all the people on the earth, they have identified a black African tribe or the most ancient form of the group of the oldest black people on the planet as a part of these demons and all this type of thing. And you get a sense of what they're talking about here. We are connected with the other side, and the Twa people is an earlier people enough to even identify with the other side. As a matter of fact, just look at the god Death. It's a monster-like figure. In so many words, I'm still giving you the images and what this world was able to view these spirits as, but in the other world, it's probably something so pristine and so beautiful. Until what is grotesque on this world is so pristine and beautiful, because we're talking about energy, light, and it can take on any kind of form. You see what I'm saying? It can take on any kind of form. You see? And these are things that we must ponder and ponder. And it was interesting because I understand now why white folks in the 1980s, especially from the mid-80s on up, the toys that the children with the most popular toys would be these hideous forms of monsters. And they had commentary, why do these children want to play with these hideous forms of monsters? And it was in toys and all. And then the computer age came, and now that's all in the PlayStations and all of the other computer games of these hideous forms of monsters. They're trying to get them to understand concepts other than the worldly concept of what we are used to. And too often they give us religion to tell us that that is all evil. And they give their children and preparing them to just think on an other world type basis. So you want to get your mind to the point where the strange becomes the normal. The bizarre becomes your playground. And then you can expand your mind to go beyond just the mundane realm. See, just the mundane realm. So these are some things we ponder. These are some things that, we can very well kick around a little bit. So give me some questions right quick.
All right, these questions from America calling in. The first one you kind of went into, but maybe the second part of the first question,
yeah.
The first question was, what is death? And why are so many people scared of
it? Yeah. It is said, and even in the book Dion Fortune's book, that Through the Gates of Death, that the Western man is the only person that ever lived that did not understand death.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, when we talk about these things, we're talking about a late Western phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Number one, because they are immigrant humans. These are the people that didn't, these are people that came too late to take the proper world stage of initiation, rites of passages through mythology, and you see what I'm saying, and through cultural motifs of learning that would prepare people for this world. They came so late until they grew up into a world of ignorance, until the Western man is the person and is and you could, if you could pinpoint a culture that didn't know death, it would be that particular one, because we're talking about a people that really didn't have a culture. They borrow pieces from every other culture. They're parasites. Savages. You see what I'm saying? An immigrant human. You see, now it's interesting here, so the mystery here is, they weren't prepared for death because of the simple fact. The first culture, as them being a civilized people, they were handed religion. Modern religion, let's put it that way.
Okay.
Which basically is moral, mundane, inspirational ceremony, which has no room to teach about death, because the whole plot is to lock you down in a series of fear to even be ruled by these religions. So therefore, if you're going to have fear, you got to have a place that's dismal, a boogeyman type of zone that no one wants to go to. You have to put them on lockdown to even want to deal with the religion. So therefore, the underworld has to be the scapegoat. It has to be the forbidden zone. You understand what I'm saying? And this is what religions give us. It even says in the Bible, I am a God of the living and not the dead. It simply tells you that this is a new category of inspirational ceremony that is based on moralism, social behavior. You understand what I'm saying? It has very little to do with the reality beyond the physical world. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why it says, I am a God of the living and not the dead. Well, let's respond to that for a minute. Everything has to die. So that means death is the ultimate terrain, the ultimate plateau. And the God, and this particular God is saying that I'm not a part of that, it means that that God has to be a subordinate deity, masquerading as the supreme being. You understand what I'm saying? You know, because he does not have dominion over that which is outside of the physical body, to the point where, as if you really study, the God that they give over to the dead is the very one that we are prone and taught to be afraid of, Satan. You see what I'm saying? So the angel of death is Satan. In the early Christian teachings, they even have this name, Uzzah, the God of death. Look at the word Osiris. Which they are right, Osiris is the God of the dead. And you even get this word in early Christian mythology or early Christian teaching of Uzzah. We're saying in actuality, well, if you really want to deal with that, no, you just have to deal with another type of God. Just so happened it has to be being the devil in this world, because this particular teaching and this particular phenomenon of cult. Our cult is that for fear, and that's for a childlike people to rear them on the lower realm at all times and stuff like that. So that is one of the reasons why you don't know about them in the Western culture. Now let's take the ancient indigenous culture, where they said that the ancient Egyptians and all the other ancient cultures, you need to learn about death from a very early age. And the more and more they learned about death and learned about death until death became a neat place or something to inspire to be. It became, you know what I'm saying, something that is admired. Now, we know you can do that and all, because how many people fell in love with Dracula mythology?
Right.
That's some cool shit.
Right.
It has its own form of immortality.
Right.
You see, so you can take the same motif and understand how they can teach the people in the ancient world, you see what I'm saying, to fall in love with that particular hereafter, because everything is based on funerary rites. You see, and we even have some of those motifs leaping over into the new world when you look at voodoo, where they have all this burning samadhi, you know what I'm saying, propagated, and all these particular ones. You can even see the how mean it is when you get the movie Sugar Hill. Anybody saw the movie Sugar Hill?
Yeah, the old one.
The one from 1975, 73. And you saw Bear Somebody's in there, and it's cool, killing up people and all. You're like, I want to hang out with them cats, because those cats still got it going on, the zombies. You see what I'm saying? So in so many words, we get it in the mythology. It's cool to be dead. You see what I'm saying? Well, in so many words, if you understand that, you can also understand how the ancient people could teach people. Aspire to look forward to that type of life, and therefore it would be a smooth transition. I'm not saying that they didn't have a certain amount of people that would have a certain emotion when anybody passed out of this world, because it is, you know, some, it takes a lot to get used to. But yeah, they didn't have this fear of death. I saw the movie. I'm learning through one of Gordon Parks, who did Shaft.
Yeah.
The movie he did before he did Shaft was Learning Truth.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, they got little Luke Wenger and his grandmama. And Luke said, man, I sure don't want to die. And the grandmama like, me either.
Mm-hmm.
Showing that niggas are scared of death. Then we ask these particular things. How is it that the Native American, the African, and indigenous people around the world can just lose a grip on things when the white man come in and start taking the earth? Well, number one, they had a prophecy that this stuff was going to happen. Number two, the Native America say it's a good day to die. So they didn't look at death as such a tragic form of things when it came to, you know, when it came to people conquering their land. And they're not saying they laid down, because they had a lot of, there's one thing about the European, they don't tell you that they had a lot of skirmishes and stuff like that. But my point here is, the difference between indigenous people is that the European was fighting for his life because he was afraid of death. It might have been a tool of conquering in the end, in his modern part. But my point here is, it wasn't no big deal for the ancient people.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And we can even say that now. We see a glimpse of that in the modern culture with the kamikaze in Japan, or with the arrows, with the although they might be lied to about how many virgins they gonna have. The suicide bomber still yet, it's still based off of a culture that has some remnants of that side of death is not to be feared. And it might be the turning point, and it's gonna be a turning point on how these people can say, look, we will never give up this fight. And obviously this is the Vietnamese had this same thing. Fuck it. We are ready to hold out for 20 years, 30 years, because death is nothing to us. The only person that's fighting for his life is that particular person that doesn't have the knowledge of the afterlife, and not only have the knowledge of the afterlife, knows their upper echelon, know that this is all they got. They're not going to go beyond this fucking realm. And they build a culture conducive to that. You see what I'm saying? So right now the Arabs, or the people in Iraq and all, because they have some link to an ancient culture. It might not be much, but it's a remnant to say, hey, look, it ain't no big deal dying.
Right.
Now, and they got, and it's not something that's so far-fetched, because they just came off a war with Iraq and Afghanistan. You see what I'm saying? They fought all of the 80s. So death is nothing to them.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? This is, you know, this is commonplace. But it goes beyond that type of aspect on how these people, you won't be able to defeat these people, because the simple fact, they have some type of remnants of what it would be like, because they're not afraid of dying like we are. And that's the difference. That's the one little edge.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That they have. Because what can the white boy do? He can't blow up the earth with all his bombs and stuff like that, because he'll defeat his own purpose. That means he's got to stand face to face and fight these people that have a culture that they have babies just for war. Now, I was talking to one of the Palestinians. The Palestinians in 1988, he was over getting a master's degree at the
at Atlanta University, or Atlanta University at the time. And we took late at night and talked. And he said, no, he said, shoot, one of my brothers died in Munich, Germany. And he said, my mama had 8 more children after he died. So you got people that raised children just spendable in war. How can you fight against that type of thing? But here goes again. Death is not the issue with them. They are not afraid of dying. You see the thing?
The next question coming to us is, what happens when you die? In the context of you die, and when we say, like, on earth, when you see the eyes, that man's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That man is gone. What, you know, what does he see here? Is there pain? What's the next thing? What's the first thing on his agenda as he's going to? What happens when he dies?
It all depends on where your consciousness is. What type of death you have. There could be a painful death, and then there could be a death where, for instance, somebody can get knocked outside of their body so fast until they don't know they're dead, and they'll go home and knock on the door and nobody answers.
Mm-hmm.
About like what happened in the movie Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, what's your boy in there? Patrick Swayze. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know he was dead at first. Because he got snatched out of his body so quick, and when he got home and all, he didn't realize why nobody wasn't recognizing him. And part of the movie, which was an excellent movie, you see, that came out in 1990, part of the movie was based on him trying to get a foothold on why, on what happened when he died. Most people, when they first die, they'll go see this light. It's called the astral light. The astral light is the astral plane. It is set up to retrieve the soul.
Love everybody. You must finally get where it needs to go from wherever I am on the please out.
Pardon the ass, you guys.
So, to get it trapped back in a cycle of reincarnation. So when you go towards the light, it is the astral light, which is the astral plane, which is ruled by a group of entities called the Demiurge, or the Devashanic plane is what it's called. It's ruled by the Deva spirits, the Orishas, are the Olympian spirits.
Now, are the Orishas, should we be walking, this goes into the third question, which is, and we can merge these two together,
yeah,
as, you know, the walking towards the light.
Yeah.
And it should this, like in the 80s, from, you know, when I was a child, when we hear people with these death experience, I see my family there.
Yeah.
I seen uncles and grandfathers saying, walk, come towards the light.
Right.
So that we, you know, that we can move both of these questions together.
Okay, right.
Are they helping us?
No, those are souls that's trapped. Let me give you a pyramid structure of how this thing goes.
Okay.
You got two realms. You have the Devashanic plane, which basically snatched the souls up to get them ready for a cycle of reincarnation. Now, that reincarnation could be 50 years, 100 years. The older the soul, the longer it takes to reincarnate. Younger, especially those ones that don't have a soul, because you do have those people, they can reincarnate faster. To reincarnate faster, we'll give you what's going on here. It's being ruled by a group of entities called the Demiurge, the Olympian Deities, the Orishas, and their light is a prism. It's the astral light. And in so many words, they get you into this cycle of reincarnation, or what I would like to say, reincarceration. Doing time on planet Earth, reincarceration. You see what I'm saying? This is the lowest plane. No one really needs to really be here or wants to be here. It's got good sense other than when you take on a human body.
you were duped into being here because the first thing happened, which is so bad about it, is you would, if you came back as an adult, you would understand the game. Hey, wait a minute. I'm doing this shit over and over and over again. That's why it snaps you back into a small brain of a baby, which means that that small brain is almost like a piece of oblivion. It's so dumb until it has to regain memory. And although it's regaining memory, and it has certain elements of the previous life, as it gets more and more molded into the life that it is now incarnated in, that life basically diminishes or extinguishes the life prior to it. So the brain is developed to, number one, tap into, or number one, coincide with the life that it is reincarnated into, and give data and to basically notice the world that it's encased in, but it's also developed to somehow suppress the previous life, which is only in the memory of the soul, with the connection of that soul is the pioneer brain, the brain up under the brain. So in so many words, all this is a cosmic trick by a group of entities that only exists through your ignorance of your soul and your knowledge of the universe that gives them their energy. So in so many words, they exist through you. Before H.P. Lovecraft, there was another guy by the name of Lord Dunsany that was having these dreams. For him, it was Bulwer Lytton was having these dreams. 1800, Lord Dunsany was the early 1900s, and he wrote a book called The Gods of Pegama. And he talked about how this great mother went to sleep, and these children in this particular case, in these particular fast beings, they're prisms. They don't have the power to be the gods of the universe and the gods of the omniverse. But they have the power to create an alternative world for themselves by trapping souls in those worlds, and those souls are being dumbed down based on some type of trap. That is the human brain that is developed from a child. So the gods of Pegama talks about, they have one particular god that is one of these children gods, and he beats his drum. And he beats his drum to keep a certain pulsation of sleep, you see, for not only the great mother who's in a slumber, but the children that's in a slumber. And should that beat ever stop, the old gods will wake up. You see what I'm saying? In this particular case, if you break it back down to the human physiology, it's talking about the brain. It's talking about the brain. Some of the Gnostics in Bentley Layton's book will make mention about the children. But one a book from the 1950s called Gnostic Religion by Hans Jonas gets into that. Gnostic Religion by Hans Jonas gets into that particular part about the children, the babies. The baby. So in so many words, what I'm saying here, this is incarceration by a group of subordinate deities that gain the foothold on the earth and the universe or whatever, while the pristine deities went into a form of a hibernation.
So that
light that you go to is their realm. Right. To be free of them is to go to the dark, which is the realm of primal sleep.
Oh, okay.
Primal sleep. Mm-hmm. So we talk about this. When a man sleeps, he goes to his true self. The Quran says when a man sleeps, he is dead.
see how 50% more power now comes in smaller packets.
I'm in CC overdrive with Bunny. If you need a little extra cash,
it's crazy how they insert these ads, you guys. Stay focused, though. Appreciate you for listening.
It's there. Up to $200 when you set up direct deposit.
Okay. But it's a primal realm that inside, but also it's, although it's a primal realm, when you're inside of this physical realm, it is so opposite this realm until you usually have fear of it, especially children. You see what I'm saying? Especially children. We'll get into that particular aspect.
I want to ask you this now. When you mentioned it, you know, we should are part of the gender.
Yes.
Now, a lot of these brothers walk around and want to tap into the Orisha.
Yes.
So are you saying the Orisha are
on outside? Yeah, let me give you a brief history of that. You got older Dumare, who is his father, who is supposed to be the father, but he's more of a father of the astral plane. Legba, Ogun, Obatala, Chango have their hands on creating this earth. The shuttle tune out a little bit, but they have their hands on creating the earth. And in the concept of that, there's some pre-creation deities that are in opposition for them creating the earth. It's the same biblical story of, let me give you an example, the biblical story of Satan and his throne saying, we're not going to bow down to man. You see what I'm saying? And God saying, you need to bow down to man. It's really a deeper story than that. We just get the edited yesterday. You get a greater mythology that you have now. There's one, there's a book by the name of Rappaport. It's called The Legends of Israel, and in there they have an extended version of this thing. And you find out in actuality this is a cosmic drama that's being played between Satan and his angels and stuff. And the reason why they didn't want to bow down to man is because the thing is, it's a greater story. They didn't want to become man, so it was rejecting becoming into a physical body. So bowing down was, oh, get used to it, humble yourself, and be our slave. But Satan just remembered, no, we're not that. We're gods of light. But they had to get used to this particular physical body. It's the same thing happened in the soul region yet. The one you want to get is a book called Good and Evil. That's the name of this thing. It's called Good and Evil. In Europe, I've said it on some of my things. It's a book by a guy that's dead now by the name of Marge. And in there, they talk about this struggle between these gods that don't want to be in the human form. And they go to battle with a Levi who created this particular earth for them to be in. And as a result, Legba and them ultimately wins. It's the same story, which makes Legba and them these giveaways type characters. They are Olympian deities. So if you want to get a better clue to you compare this with the Titan story, or the Titans not wanting to be cast down, but we strike them with an arrow and burn them up and then use their ashes to make man. You see what I'm saying? Those Titans are pristine deities that rule the universe prior to the younger group of deities who are the broader the deities. They want to create this top job wonder world for themselves by using the older material to trap them down in this thing. So it's the same thing, it's the same linear material. I was told them that so there's several myths, but one of them would be the Titan myth. You see, one would be the Gnostic myth and all and even the Egyptian myth in the coffin text. In the coffin text, they talk about Ra being old and feeble. He invites all the gods to dinner and swallows them all up. So when you say, how can he swallow all the gods up? It's the same story are basically taking these advanced entities, inviting them to dinner, and eating them up, which means in actuality we trap them into the realm of the physical and slow down the vibration rate or the vibratory rate to trap these gods in the physical. We got one little piece that survives in the coffin test. The other piece to give you the indication that something happened was Ra overthrowing Apep, the great dragon, our former, the great mother. But then again, you have the pre-dynastic mythology going on and surviving where Marduk defeated Tiamat, the great dragon or the great mother, and used her blood to make the earth, her husband's blood, Kingu, to make humans. So we're still talking about ancient beings being trapped physical forces by some younger entities, our children. You see what I'm saying? Our particular children. Going back and because all this stuff going back, you got to know about the demiurge, know about the death, and know why we're trapped, and know what happens after you die in the pitfalls. So, it's the same story. In East India, they are the Asuras, these pristine deities that are more superior than the Devas. But the Devas somehow tricked the Asuras to lose their foothold on the earth and turn them into demons afterwards. Well, what is it turning into a demon? The turning into the demon is basically being trapped in a physical body. There's no difference between the word demon and human. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Being trapped in a physical body. So the Asuras got trapped and got duped from becoming human by the solar divas who are their children. You see, who are their children. You see, same concept. Same concept of what's going on. So in so many words, when you die, you meet face to face up with this tragedy again on where your soul is going to go. If you're going to get reincarcerated back down here, or is it going to set up the land in the land of the shadows, which is those particular entities that were outside the cycles of time. You see what I'm saying? And the faith not to come back. Now, fortunately, maybe the last 20 years, or at least I know the last 15 years, most of the cycles of reincarnation have been broken. Most of the babies that come to this planet are souls that have been in transition for at least 50, 60, 70, 100 years. So they were in the cycle of transition, already coming back to the planet. But most of the ones now that expire are not trapped into, so many words, the so-called astral life or astral plane. Because one of the words for the demiurge is called plane. So this astral light or this astral plane has worn thin. It is petered out. You can tell based on the seasons being off is one of the indications. And so as a result, a lot of people have broken the cycle of reincarnation, and they don't have to come back. So that means it sets up some type of way station that was set up before the ultimate reality of all this stuff is all been back into this new world. And as a result, we know the last couple of years, that particular way station has become an oasis. You see what I'm saying? It's become an oasis. They're partying all night and all day and stuff like that. So they're partying all night.
The damning urge of these particular beings have lost their foothold on the earth, and the only thing they're doing at this particular time is they're surviving through the ignorance of the people. So these people are doing last rituals, not just Orishas, but to the Christian aspect and the worship aspect of religions and through religions, because even that Yoruba thing has become a religion. They're doing all these mass worships and stuff, and in so many words, they are giving the demiurge their energy by keeping the demiurge alive, because the demiurge can only survive through the image or through the thoughts of man. In this case, the lower thoughts of man. So in so many words, the demiurge is nothing but forms of ego that's outside of the body. He's this ongoing monster. Now, this is interesting. Some people say, well, you know, what about astral traveling? And what about, because this is one that this one that is set up, that is real key. You hear people say, ascended masters. But if the kingdom has not come yet, if the kingdom is not established, how can you have ascended masters? They have only ascended to the astral plane. You see, the matrix that we talk about, we know there's a physical matrix. What we don't understand here is the matrix has various levels of the matrix outside of the physical, and that's the astral plane, which is just basically the present universe eight. It's made up of several planes. And so also you can ascend and break, and some of those people can break the cycles where they don't have to come back to the earth, and they are thinking that they are in paradise in heaven. They only have ascended to a non-physical plane, but it is still a form of the matrix, illusionary phenomenon. That's why they talk about a holographic universe, Michael Talbot's book. You see, so it's still a form of a matrix.
This is universe A, universe B.
This is universe A. Universe B is beyond the world of death. The shadow, the kalipos, which is beyond the world of death. Death and death is the same thing. So you got the front side of the tree of life of the Kabbalah, and those particular spheres are still Tim or luminous emanations. Emanations don't mean reality. It's just prisms of light are emanations. That is behind the tree through the doorway of death, which is the real world. And they say that the back of the tree will rule in the last days or in the end. So this whole Kabbalistic system is nothing but various forms of the astral plane, which is set up to be some type of simulation of heaven beyond the physical world that has been in action or been illuminated since creation, but it is not the ultimate reality. So the Hermetic text says that you may think that the Father, right there, letting you know it's something, that the Father of all nourishes everything in the universe. This is called, call it some form of Zeus, the Great Father. They say, but it is not the ultimate reality of all that is to be. The ultimate reality is in a circle in the ground. Now, if you take the earth off of that and stuff, it's in a circle in the ground is nothing but the deepest part of your subconscious mind, the inner world. You see what I'm saying? The inner world. Now, when you die, it's based on your consciousness. You go, it's just this reincarnation cycle. Because believe it or not, they're not really getting trapped in that now and stuff. That light can't hold them, so in so many words, although they might go to the light, they are still not being trapped in the reincarnation cycle. They're still ending up in the other world, which is the world of the dead, the kingdom of Osiris, because it is not strong enough to contain those souls. You see what I'm saying? Now, when you do that, so that means the only ones with incarnations is the ones who've been reincarnating for thousands in that cycle. But the rest of the people are going to this particular world. You see what I'm saying? That this particular world, that is the world, is the world to come. Now, which is the kingdom of Osiris or the kingdom of death. Now, it's set up like a pyramidal structure, and it's all based on your consciousness. So let's say if your family members who are just ignorant, good dead people. When they go to that particular realm, they'll be amongst all kind of family members, and that's probably what you're seeing when you see the light. They'll be amongst all kind of family members, and that's the form of, and that's cool for right now. But then there's the next level. It will be the realm of people that have a little more consciousness. And then the highest levels will be the ones that will be ones with the gods. So let's take me and what I'm dealing with. I have been in this thing long enough until my first 10 years was this whole aspect of being a part of the knowledge, the gnosis, and figuring out, you see, figuring out all of this, or recalling all of this. My soul trying to figure out what it is to be that of a soul. The last 5 years, I have entered into a court where I'm one with the God. There is no difference than me and the gods. As a matter of fact, through some of the women and the woman I'm with now, I have had sex. I have had sex with literally Lakshmi last week. I have had sex with Ozuli. I had sex with her in 2002. And other cosmic beings, so in so many words, the only difference is I am annexed in this physical world, but I'm one with God. So let's just say if I was to transcend right now, I would be in a higher heaven, in a higher heaven. I would be at the ultimate pinnacle of that, and then right up under there would be a group of people that's enlightened, that has a certain amount of knowledge, and up under that would be... See what I'm saying? So it's a principality in that world. Now, ultimately, this is not a thing where all the souls have to wake up. We got to wake down here for all the souls. This is a million years. So the way the dumbest motherfucking niggas are.
Right.
And we four or five people that's enlightened, it's the shootout.
Right.
We are only opening the doorways that ultimately those entities won't even have to do that work. We're doing that work for them. So each one of us have representatives, and we are learning and trying to contemplate, what is this? What is this? What is this journey? What am I doing? All the stuff you're going through, you got about maybe 1,000 people connected with you that don't have to do this because you are the representative doing it. Not like sometimes when you... If somebody died way out in California, you ain't got enough money to send the whole family, you send a representative of the family. So we are representative of so many hundreds of dead folks in the aspect of, when I'm saying dead, I'm not talking about the physical dead folks, I'm talking about people that's asleep is a good word for it. The people that's asleep, you see what I'm saying and all. It's the people that's plugged in. You see, so now on one aspect here, what we talk about here is, and the ultimate reality is we have done this work and we're doing this work, and the ultimate reality, through our initiation, we are actually bringing about a world where everybody at once, in a twinkling of the eyes, says in the Bible, will be at this one state, you see what I'm saying, or this one level of these, the Trinity cosmic beings, how many souls there are down here. Obviously, there are more people down here than there is souls. We talk about the original ones. But since we are the original people, we don't really have to worry about that. And for whatever reason people got down here, whatever type thing, they got to worry about that and all. But the point about it here is we're doing the work for them so they don't have to take another 1,000 years of initiation to get where we are. You understand what I'm saying? Because ultimately, it'll still be one mind. It's like the Borg. And then when they assimilate, you see, everybody motherfucker think alike. And these individuals down here trapped in this physical, they don't really like that. You know, Captain Kirk and them is white boys and shit like that. They don't understand the concept of one mind and stuff like that, but we have cultures. And it's not the same as somebody being these grown followers. We are individuals, but we're still a part of a collective. You see what I'm saying? So we are individuals because we are creative beings. That's what melanin does. It creates. Never stops moving. But we still have a general collective. You see what I'm saying? A general collective. So that's whatever the deal is.
Very hot shit.
You know, you go back and decipher the shit.
So the next question is, you're covering so much, I don't want to, you know, repeat some of the stuff you covered, but we'll try to add some of them in a different perspective.
Yeah.
Literally, in the past 5 years, you've been having a little effect with Lashley.
And the other entities, yeah.
And that quickening, can I call it quickening? Is that not you, just like you mentioned, and go get smashed out of your body so fast, where you're not looking to retrospect back on your life, and you can interface with some of your family members and like, damn, ain't nobody appealing to the real me. So you can see it.
Well, that realm is just anybody that's in the consciousness.
Yeah.
That's just comes with enlightenment, period.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about here, because that's what happened the first 10 years.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? What I'm talking about here is being so much in the realm of the gods and killed in so many words. Even people who wrong me now, all of a sudden now, is no different than them wronging a certain God. And unfortunately, it's to the point where, for them, is a lot of time I don't know nothing about it. It's just some motherfuckers just get dealt with. And then I find out later. You know, it's like one guy, I was messing with this woman. Yeah, I was messing with this woman a couple of years ago. And she wanted to move in my house. So it was on my birthday. We laying in the bed together. She said, "You gonna clean out that room?" So I didn't want to spoil my birthday.
Right.
Not saying, "Hell no, motherfucker, you ain't getting up in my house." I said, "Yeah, babe, I'm gonna clean out the room. I'm gonna start Monday. You can make the good birthday go right." This was my birthday of 2003, November 28, 2003. I said, you know, because I want to move down. I want to set up some business or whatever. I said, yeah, baby, you know, because I, you know, tell them what the hell they want. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the art of lying is a tool. Seven liberal arts of the mystery school. I don't know what they call it. They do it in court all the time, what they call it. The art of rhetoric, of persuasion, or manipulation. So anyway, I said, yeah, baby, you know, I clean out the room and all this. So that Monday when she got back to her home because she was from out of state, she said, "You going to clean out the room?" I said, "No, I'm not clean out no room." She said, "But you said," I said, "I lied." "Well, why do you do?" I said, "Keep the birthday going right. I wouldn't have no damn party." But I had no intentions on doing it and stuff. You know what I'm saying and all? And you know, and for some women, they can't grasp the concept that they can be lied to just as much as a person you were scratching their head and stuff. It was a tool to me. So meanwhile, there was another guy that was in love with her. And he wanted her to move in his house. And she called him up crying about how I wouldn't let her move in my house, and he would start player hating on me, and he's coming, "I'm going to go over there and kill this nigga and all, and I'm going to go and fuck this nigga up." Now, meanwhile, I don't know nothing about this. I'm hearing about this a month later because this nigga now done made such a threat that he's laying up in the hospital with two collapsed lungs. And I get a phone call because some psychic sister told this girl, you need to go call Bobby and tell him to try to stop what's going on because he thinks the demons is fucking his boy up. So they call me up, and I'm totally oblivious. I'm like, what? Who? What? What you talking about? So she has to recall the story on how she was upset that I wouldn't let her move in my house. And so she called this other nigga who wanted her to move in, and he was in love with her, and he started playing hating on me. And as a result, it set up a motherfucking retribution or a warfare or something, a confrontation with some deities was going to his ass, and I knew nothing about it. But in that particular realm, in so many words, I was one with them. So him talking shit about me was the same as him talking shit about them.
Right.
And they was with this nigga ass, and I didn't know nothing about it. It was a month later.
Ain't no more
right. You're it. So in so many words, that's the realm we're talking about here. The only difference here is I'm just annex or an envoy to the physical. You see what I'm saying? But I'm actually in both worlds and stuff like that. No, you see, so there's different levels, different levels of protocols, different things based on where you are in your consciousness. Now, obviously, I'm a conscious people right now. I have certain lofty heights because look at all the dead motherfuckers. So that means you got to be, if not at the tip of the pyramid, you got to be somewhere in the upper room with everybody. It's so dead. So there's different levels of this particular realm. But ultimately, it's going to merge into all one because we are all doing the work. You see what I'm saying? Am I? We all doing the work. You see? So we all students, or we all, they say, we are all becoming. You see what I'm saying? That particular aspect. Yeah, so that's it's pretty much how that particular aspect is. You see what I'm saying? But like I said, 10 years prior to that, I was in this struggle of obtaining this particular information. And it was just like one person used to say, said, man, you know, one sister said, shit, I went home for Christmas to Chicago. And I said, she said, it was a motherfucker, man. She said, it was almost like I had to take all this knowledge I have and suspend it, put it in a box, put it in a bag, and put it away to go amongst them dead folks. And she said, and the damn near kill me, because you can't ever mention nothing to them about none of this shit. And she said, here it is, I'm in a whole other world of enlightenment. Even trying to figure shit out is a form of enlightenment. See, when you find out that in actuality, if you're going to the pot of gold is the journey. And if you don't have the enthusiasm of trying to just figure it out, you've lost the game. The game is not necessarily to what's on the other side. The game is just being enthusiastic enough to just figure the shit out. Your sincerity is your credentials. You should get a high on trying to decode it all.
Right, right, right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, and in so many words, that is the journey. That is the completion of it all. So we are already there. We're just trying to remember.
Right.
Connect the dots and put the puzzle back together. But just to be conscious of putting the puzzle back together
is what it is.
You understand what I'm saying? It's no different than you putting the puzzle together. You trying to find out what piece and that's this green and this blue and all this kind of thing here. And you saying, man, I got a long way to go. I'm not there. But look at this little baby.
Low battery.
And they ain't trying to put it together. They trying to eat the motherfucker.
Right.
You trying to assemble it. So how low are you running one day? This person, he's trying to eat it. He said, get that shit out your mouth. So that's the... That's the people that we call the dead folks. That, and that's the same thing what the agent was saying when he had Lawrence Fishburne locked up in the first meeting. He looked out the window and said, you got to marvel at it. All these people getting on with their everyday life, totally oblivious. And I'm looking at that saying, God knows, we live in the black community. We see this shit every hour. So we are actually already there. You see what I'm saying on that particular level, and my point here is because
It don't have to be a struggle. What I did is I had to down there do it by myself. Now, but I realized one thing about it in retrospect, I was having fun doing it. So in so many words, this should be fun. It should be exciting. You feel what I'm saying? It should be exciting. Like Chief Lumineo said, you should expect more things to happen. Any spirit and experience you have, you should look forward to that day. Even so, was that a spirit? You know, sometimes you have to ask yourself, was that a fucking moment? Was that a spiritual experience? And the more and more you look forward to those things happening, the more and more they become commonplace. Where it becomes every hour. Even when shit fuck up, you go, you be cursing and stuffing, damn. I miss that bus, I miss that train, I miss that person that's coming over. And then about an hour later, something will happen, you go, oh shit, had I gone, I wouldn't have been able to do this. I wouldn't have been able to do this. And you find out the whole time, the shit was lining up for you. You see what I'm saying? And that's one thing that is going on right now with the white boy in his time. And a group of white people, I got the DVD, and the guy was saying, you know, you people, y'all are like the Nazis. You're so rigid with the time, the stuff and shit. You see what I'm saying? Until when this time starts to collapse, you don't know what to do because it's not on your schedule. Not what you trained for. And as a result, and so they said, what you going to have to do? If you get to the white people in the audience this guy was talking to, he's going to get time speed up. He said, what you going to do? They said, well, he said, well, you're going to have to be like the sports figures. Whenever, although you're looking at the time, and you're sitting there, you know, sometimes, you want to watch the basketball or football, man, it can be very frustrating. You know, the clock running out, you're looking at the time, and you motherfuckers got to do the thing, we got the ground, or we got whatever, and you go, oh, shit, you sweating? And they get it, and they make the perfect play, and the guy say, how do they do it? Because they're up there, they're zoning. You gotta be gone. That means that is an opportunity to mention it, that the team is going into the outside of your time. And that's how they make the play. And the only person that freezes on that court is the person that didn't go with the rest of the damn team. You see what I'm saying? Didn't go with the rest of the team. So that's what you got to do. You got to get into the zone. You see? So they got rigid culture. Everything got to be timed because they're not spiritual. So everything has to be calculated. Precise as this. Oh, do we want to do sex tonight? Well, put you down for an appointment. You want to do lunch? You understand what I'm saying? Whereas, it was even talking about the Nazis. They were going to rigid. Like that. They said they went down with Mussolini to the motherfuckers down in Italy. In Italy. And they went down to Italy. They went down to Italy, and Mussolini's group of people, you know, the Italians, they are more of a tropical people. Half of them live. And they saw the other side of the cop and the Germans, and the motherfucker was about to die. They couldn't do it. It's just a matter of culture. You feel me, home? Of stuff like that, no. But that wasn't, you see, that's the population of the Germans. Whereas our stuff is a little more, it's a zone that we have to get into and stuff. So that has a lot to do. I don't know where that was going, but it had to be put on there. Give me another. Concept is blown out of proportion. Okay. Obviously, it can't be no universal thing because the white boys,
bear witness, because if there was anything such as karma, he should have been off the planet.
Right.
They have violated every damn law that lets you know that obviously,
obviously
this world, this thing that you call karma, doesn't apply. Because he said, look, I have done everything on this planet in which you could say the word karma, which is nothing but the East Indian word for sin. You see what I'm saying? I have done everything that violates every law known to man that I should have been off this motherfucker. If it was based on you reap what you sow.
Right.
Well, the karma must love him because they sure got a long time coming when it comes to him.
Mm-hmm.
This is the problem. The karma that it was talking about had two aspects to it. It was an individual thing that you create in your own self based on your heart. You see what I'm saying? And it has an interaction with your soul and its relationship to the world around it and how you create your own reality based on what you do, a series of things that you do that lines up with your soul and where your soul is. You understand where I'm coming from? But this whole concept, so they took a individual concept of you mastering your own domain and turned it into a universal concept that if I step on this roof, I'm going to have karma. So they made it a damn, they made, so what happened? By the time it gets to the Buddhists or the Tibetans, they're separated from the original Vedic system by thousands and thousands of years. And although it can be 2,000-3,000 years ago that these concepts got blown away, it's still a late concept and a degraded concept compared to the original inception of this ship. And so we're looking back to something that's 2,000 years old and going, well, it must be the truth because it's old. No, that's young. It might be old to you, but compared to the original concept, it was separated down to 10,000 years. So that means it's a degraded form that got out of hand and stuff. So by the time the Buddhists come, they're separated from the original concept down this 10,000 years. Because the original ones come, is Kushite to come out of Ethiopia. But even when they settled that particular land of India, it was thousands and thousands of years before the time you get the Buddhist concept, that which is nothing but their form of fundamentalism, moralism. So they took this individual concept of something highly metaphysical, the cause and effect of your own self, and put it on this shit as a universal thing of karma like sin. And the shit is fake. It doesn't exist.
Thank you.
And it only exists on the individual level. You make that. But on the other hand, if you are aware of it and simply understand that you have the choice to say, there ain't no karma, and by you being the god of that, guess what? The cause and effect don't apply to you. You can kill who the hell you want.
Yeah.
It's all based on what you're programmed to do. Now, if you're programmed that this thing is going to be detrimental to you, then guess what? Your soul and your subconscious mind acts upon it, and so therefore, you have sinned. You have this karma on you. But if you don't have those particular concepts, because you know the higher truth, then you understand it in actuality don't apply to you. So in so many words, going back, there's this demiurge crew that run a room with a tight fist. And what they have done is they've gone in and they have lied. Now, I know this for a fact. I have had, based on channels, entities come and tell me flat-out lies. That's why one thing that you should do when you channel, number one, you should pick a deity that is on your side, that is on your corner. And you should always ask that deity. You should never ask the question in a channel or a psychic phenomenon with a deity that you don't know. Or just put it out there. Because it can be thousands of entities that will come down. Some of them, your enemies will tear you alive, tear you away. Because one sister was excellent, psychic. She said, oh, no, I just asked the universe. I'm like, you damn fool. You know how many motherfucking idiots is in the universe and thugs and cutthroats? Motherfuckers that you call guys is in the universe because they don't have a physical body. They still can communicate with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't worry about it. Hey, we rolling. It's the knowledge. Not, you know, and, you know, if a person that superficial, this chair is more important than the energy and the stuff that we're giving out. They are really not there yet. So that's a checkpoint to see, you know, whether you're there or not. So, and I said, you know, are you crazy? You have to pick a specific deity or a principality to what side it lines up with your soul because you got people that are lying to you. And so, therefore, some of these concepts get muddled, and it's in this information that was wrong channels because there were some deities that want to put a group of people on lock now. And then all of a sudden, karma becomes just like sin. You step on a rope, and you're in trouble. In that particular case, just like the sin, why even be down here? Because everything you do is wrong. But then again, these same people understood Maya and understood if this was an illusion, how could karma apply any damn way in an illusion? Something's not real.
Right.
And the only reality is what your subconscious mind makes reality for you. And it's a series of programming. It's no different when Neil was jumping off the building and he fell. When he fell and bounced and hit and splattered on the thing, the problem was is in his mind, he was programmed to when you fall, you're going to get hurt. So when he fell, you see what I'm saying? That's what happened. It was only when he could program his mind to say this is only an illusion that he was able to fly by the next move. And it was the same thing that happened when the guy said, he said, why did I beat you? He said, you're better than me. He said, you think the surroundings have anything to do? He said, you don't understand. Your problem is not in your technique. It is in your mind. You think that's air you're breathing? I can see you. I can take you to the door, but I can't see you. You understand? Well, it's the same concept of this particular karma. It's something that was created to trap you mentally, and you are trapped in it, and guess what? You create that karma because you're trained that this, I've done something wrong, and I got to pay for it. And so your spirit be like, okay, you got to pay for it. Why? You say, why I got to pay for it? Well, motherfucker, you are the one that's creating it. You're the power to get yourself. You want me to kick your ass butt, then that's what's going to happen. That's what I'm going to do. I'm only following you. So if you want to be programmed to be free from this shit, then program in some stuff to say, that don't apply to me. And you know what's interesting? I've been dealing, because I can say this, because I've been dealing with the spirit world. And I'm talking about advanced spirits, because I'm fucking them.
Right.
They have never came to me and said, Bobby, shouldn't drink that liquor. Bobby, you shouldn't curse. You know what I'm saying? Bobby, you shouldn't curse. You know what I'm saying? Bobby, you shouldn't talk behind that person's back like that. Well, yeah, they will never say something on that particular level, but then again, on the other hand, some bad ears. But that's moralism. Now, on the other hand, on the physical realm, you could eat some shit to get some shit to start rumbling in your ass a couple of hours later. But that's just a physical aspect. But then again, hell, you created that. You could either eat it, or you can drink some elixir and tell them y'all handle that.
Right, right.
And stuff like that or something like that. And that's in your mind. It's like the sister, Linda, that I'm with now, she used to say, well, I didn't even have money to go get all these vitamins. So I had to program my mind that this shit was not going to hurt me. And as a result, she said, I don't take no medicine or none of that shit because even that is a goddamn hope. You got to do it before you eat it.
Right.
So if you put it up in there and it might be the wrong shit and you ain't aware of it.
Right, right.
Okay, right. You own? You know, you got to do it. So it's like magic. I have physically just said, this is not going to bother me.
Right.
I have sent a message to my body, and I ate the shit. And then sometimes I've eaten some shit like that and didn't do the magic on it and damn near kill myself.
Whoa.
You see what I'm saying? Damn near kill myself and all.
So
it's all about the level of consciousness in your mind.
You have an example of that? Like you some get warnings about food and eat something.
Look, I'm going to tell you, so I'll tell you this particular part right now. Let me tell you this particular thing. I tell you what happened to me yesterday, but I'll tell you this particular thing about Linda, the first time with my Babylonia. From the time we met, she said, you know, you can't be doing like I do. And I said, why? She said, I'm poison. She said, you seen the character on the last Batman movie? Poisonizer? She said, I can do that kind of shit. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm on that level. We know this can happen even in the ecology when they say, you listen to the aborigines, you live outside. They'll tell if they see a bug on the baby's food, they'll let the baby eat the little tip of the bug because they're getting the body immune to the environment. You understand what I'm saying? So it's the same thing mentally. You see what I'm saying? She said, don't do what I do because I'm poison. I can do these things. You see what I'm saying? And it's a form of a mindset. Now, let me explain what happened as far as this thing here, as far as being warned about something, you got to look out for some things. So,
and what's the esoteric
mean? Yeah. Okay. Well, let me give you the context. All this stuff is we kill in battle with forces. So before prior to coming to New York, not prior, before I came to New York, what happened was I got a call from California. And a sister said, be careful what you eat when you go to New York. Don't, she was getting fish. Linda, about 2 days before she went, I cleaned out real good. Cleaned out a lot. Because what happened on the plane, the bow was locked up. And all, you see what I'm saying? And I cleaned out a lot. She said, you know, you better clean. So I cleaned out. She said, whatever you do when you get there, don't eat no beef. Eat no beef, which is two things that's going on. Number one, it was a channel.
Right.
On one level, for one thing, I'll tell you that in a minute.
Yeah.
She don't eat no beef. And what it was that she was getting this thing, that the demiurge, whatever the information I was going to deal with, the tsunami, the Congolese riots, or whatever the thing, the demiurge at this particular point, they got they on their last leg, and so they're going to try to block shit. Even down to the videotape in the lecture. So she said, don't eat no beef. So I made it clear one day and all, and so I went over that little shop across the street, and I was looking at stuff, and they had some lasagna up in there, and they had some broccoli. I got some broccoli, I got some lasagna, and I got some rice, with vegetable and rice, that thing. And I was eating right before, and it was fine, and right before I was supposed to go on, I poured libation, and my stomach started killing me. And that's when he said, Libby, we're going to take a break. And I was saying, thank God. And I'm saying, what? And I told the sister to bring me back a ginger ale. I might need the book. The spirit said, no, you need to go eliminate, or you got to do something right now. She said, because whatever you done ate, it was an attack. And I thought about it. I said, oh, my God, at the bottom of the lasagna is ground beef. She told me not to eat the beef. It was, what it was is the demiurge needed something of a low level to go into so they can attack me. And so I had to go up on the second floor, go in there, and I know how to bend over, drink two glasses of water, and bend over, and there's a pump that cuts on, and you vomit it out. Now, it's a development, it's a chakra. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was, but when I was a vegetarian, I used to eat that fucking tofu. I started throwing up. And I would eat it fried, hard like chicken. And that was just pure plastic. And I started throwing up, and as a result, when I was throwing up, my third eye started pulsating. And I said to myself, wait a minute, there's something to this. I didn't know until about 4 years later, see, that was 96, when this thing started happening. It was in 98 when C. Freeman L. was sitting around, you know, he's in the elder metaphysical, and I said, he said, you know, we was talking about something, and I said, man, I had to throw up last night. He said, throwing up is good. He said, there's a nozzle up under there, and you can develop that nozzle, and it's like a chakra, and it opens up. And a lot of spiritual people, like a guy Juju, he said, when something ain't right, he can throw up at an instant. Some people got to stick their finger. So I developed this nozzle. I drink 2 glasses of water. When I bend over, it cuts on this nozzle, and I throw up. But when I was throwing up, I went to another level. I'm like, my third eye was pulsating. So now, I went upstairs, and I threw up whatever it was. And I got it out of me, went back and cleared myself out with the ginger ale and stuff, and I was fine. I was fine, and they were trying to attack me, but they had already called 2 days before, and I slipped. But what it was is I didn't register. Now, the other thing was they were trying to send a message just to, because two things happened. One was the attack from the Demiurge was going to try to attack me in the election. The other one was a message to tell motherfuckers at this particular time, you can't be fucking with no beef because they're getting ready to run this mad cow shit on America. They're going to fuck motherfuckers up. But they got the shit in Canada. They announced 2 weeks ago that it's in Canada. So in so many words, it's something that was interesting here, because some brother came by and they left 2 frozen steaks on our door. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And got one of my friends. And Linda looked at that shit. She said, I ain't eating that shit. I said, but they're hard as a brick. Ain't nothing. It's not like it's fall or nothing. But she was channeling. Hey, man. That shit is out now, because they might not have nothing to do with that those things, but it has something to do with a message. They're getting ready to run this mad cow shit on you niggas here and all, because they got to stop motherfuckers. And like you just said, they just said what, but a hamburger has 1,000
different calories based on the whiteboard movie, Supersize.
It has 1,000.
The fact that they let that movie out is a warning.
About 1,000 different cows and one hamburger
has 1,000 different cows.
And the whole reason, and this crocker here says, how they got down mad cows and what they do. They started feeding the cows, dead cows in their feed, and bones and shit, and feces. You see what I'm saying? And the feces. So the spirit will give you a warning on doing some stuff like that. And the other thing here is your mind. So my point is, there is a way that, yes, you do have to be mindful of what you eat. But then again, on the other hand, you can't read every box in America. Some things you're going to have to go to another level. Let me give you an example of my brother. My brother is a super vegan. They don't eat nothing but berries and nuts and grains and berries and twigs. We don't know what they eat. Berries. I don't know what they eat. That nigga ate some rice one day and almost died. And what was the metaphysical thing about it? He had programmed in his mind that 98% of everything on the earth is going to be detrimental to him until it was not the actual food. Now, this is a nigga used to lick ketchup off the goddamn street when he was young. I seen that nigga lick some ketchup off the street. So I know it's the psychological thing. Nigga used to be my sausage best friend. You know? I mean, I'm thinking about who used to piss in Mountain Dew bottles and say, hey, mama brought you a Mountain Dew and give a motherfucker the bottle.
You're in therapy.
Just a nigga to drink the piss. You're take the bottle, put it in the freezer, get the frost on it, go pee in it, and open it. You know, we open and give a nigga a cold Mountain Dew and this piss. We used to do shit like that. We was notorious. The three of us, we was notorious when we was young with that kind of shit. But so I'm just trying to say, I said, wait a minute, man. And so he had programmed his mind that everything was wrong until a woman went in the house and painted her fingernails. She would break out and hide.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look, man, you have gone into that zone, man, and it's all based on your mind. So on one aspect, yes, you're supposed to be mindful of what you eat because you know these motherfuckers got poison shit out here. You see what I'm saying? And all. But then again, on the other thing, you got to condition your mind because all this stuff, as you think, so are you. You know, as you think, so are you. And that's how the whole thing is, you see. So that's one particular one. Give me some good stuff.
Like, at the lecture yesterday, you was talking to me about me getting my food from this, you know, that Mexican joint.
Yeah, that's the one I ate at. That's the one that fucked me up. Oh, no, brother, you can't do that. Because it's a high art. know, that bullshit in the aspect of, hey, since when did you get to the point where this brother here, you're supposed to be one nation, he can't shake the man's hand? That's when you get into that elitism, and that's that whole cult thing. He said, oh, fuck that. You mean to tell me I done sold 1,000 people, and I can't shake the man's hand? You can't get me close to the man to shake his hand? Oh, no, brother, he can't do that, man. He said, so he waited until halftime till the minister got on the stage, and he said he walked out and got in his car and left. Never went back. That's one aspect. He said he started fucking with this white girl after that because he was disenfranchised. And he said he's screwing a lot of women. He was screwing with this white girl. He said he fucked with her about 6 weeks. 6 weeks. And he 6 to 8 weeks, he said. He said in that whole time he was messing with her, he was always sick. So obviously, sleeping with her put him in, because we're talking about astral planes and different levels, and it put him on a very low plane. Now, you know that right now. It's about like eating pork or something when you done ate some shit that's very low and fucked up food or some type of chemical shit. You ever ate something that's chemical and the shit ain't even real? And you go around the whole day and you can't get this shit off of you. You see what I'm saying? Well, it was the same thing. He was always sick. Now, what happens here is, we know this happens to this. To give you an example, I'll give you an example. You got the girl, they already know. Tiger Woods, he won the Masters in 97. They went and got that nigga coat from behind the chair on the floor. They put his shit on the floor and gave him his jacket from behind the chair on the floor. The next year, he changed up the golf courses on it. Took him about a year to get back right, but when he got his game with that, that nigga won the fucking British Open, the USO. He won all these Open. He just totally obliterated the game. So, for 2 years at the Masters, they poisoned him. They poisoned him this year, and they poisoned him the year before last. And the nigga's so dumb and stupid. He ate a family's boat years out of the commissary there and got sick. They poisoned the nigga. So they said, we got the ultimate trick for you. That nigga ain't been winning, ultimately, because he got that white woman. And it's been taking him to a lower level. The Serena and Venus, they ain't winning now because they got them white boys. Now, I know this for a fact. 10 years ago, 1994, my brother went to these people down in South Carolina. They was in the Europe and they did a lot of reading and stuff. And the people told him, say, something about the male members in your family that's passed on. You got to do something with them. And so he said, okay, well, whatever. He didn't pay it no attention. So about 2 months later, I was getting this reading, and one of the students like saying, look, something about a male member in your family. I said, well, narrow the shit down. Anyway, it was my father that needed help. That needed help to get to a higher plane. Now, my father died in 1970, just like the Osiris thing. My mother had three of us, 60, 61, I'm in the middle, and 62. She hauled us back to South Carolina. They had a disagreement or whatever. She hauled us back to South Carolina and started teaching school and left him out there. They were married or whatever, left him out there. So in the course of that, you know, he was doing what he was doing out in California. And at the end of the 60s, he hooked up with this white woman. He had a best friend that got together, and him and the white woman conspired with each other against him, and they killed his ass and threw him in the river, just like the Osiris shit. Expert swimming, all that shit. Okay. That was 1970, so this would be 1994, which would be 24 years. This Negro called us to help him, and me and my two brothers and my mama had to build an altar, a certain altar, to lift this nigga up because this nigga was trapped on a very low plane, a subplane, because he was fucking with that damn beast before he died. And he was trapped down there on some animal plane or some low-ass plane. And we had to get that motherfucker up off that plane. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about through experience.
Fucking
with
white folks.
Fucking with that white girl. Mm-hmm. Before he died.
Fucking around
his
white girl.
And he was trapped down there for 24 years on a low plane. Outside of airplane, some low ass plane, because who knows what that, some of that clump of trust was made out of.
Now, what did he experience on this lower plane?
He was in some type of hell.
Mm-hmm.
Some type of loneliness, animal, whatever. But it was unnatural to him. And we had to do something. And when we combined the four officers together, we got him up out of there. We got him up out of there. So I do know they have destroyed the lowest levels of our subplanes. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about something that is not even a people. It's some type of android. You see what I'm saying? It's two bars. You see what I'm saying? Like that, no. You know? Now, you know, like I said, now they got, what they say, 2% to 3% that are black. They're just incarnated in white gene pool or whatever type of thing. And you can put up a tell, even some of them you can tell by the skin color, some of them you can tell by the aura. They got mannerism like black folks. They got a shine to them like black folks. And you can tell some of them got life. You can tell when some got life and some don't. You see what I'm saying? It comes out in talent. A lot of times and stuff like that, it comes out in the humane acts or whatever. You see what I'm saying? It comes out in the booty or whatever type thing. You see, so I'm just trying to say, you do have that, but we're talking about this mutanoid cockroach.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. You see?
Mm-hmm.
You see, that thing. Robotoid.
Cockroach.
Cockroach, mutanoid cockroach. That's
yeah.
It.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now, I often hear, if you want to call this in a circuit, you know, everybody's death and destruction to Western civilization.
Yeah.
I want this shit over. You know, that's the anthem. You know, I want this shit over.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right. Mm-hmm.
This paradigm ended all at once.
Mm-hmm.
No more Earth.
Yeah.
No more Earth.
Yeah.
What would we expect to see? And you know, if there was a mass transformation, what would we all expect to see? And what would we do next in terms of the next paradigm? What's our next choice?
Okay. Well, let's deal with one of these questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like those elephants the other week that broke their chains and headed for the hills for the tsunami, but had enough sense to come back. After the shit was over, because they were domesticated,
right?
And they knew their wilderness was not for their ass.
Right.
Well, in so many words, if this white man and where he's got the grip on the world with his technology or whatever the shit is,
mm-hmm.
we have gone a buttonhole lower as human beings. Whereas, if this thing is not over and the white boy got up out of here, I don't want to even see this kind of world because it's going to be like the road warrior where you just see just people just killing each other and doing all kind of things because we have been made fucked up because of him. But it's not made for that. And I want to get this right because a lot of the people still don't understand. We got this Afrocentric thing and they think that we're going to just go back to Africa and be free and the white man going to be gone off the planet. It ain't like that. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. We talk about the metamorphosis stage, and I talk about this over and over in my lectures. A caterpillar goes into a cocoon not to become a caterpillar, but become a butterfly. And in so many words, they say that this realm that we are on, you have a child, you have an infant, you have a child, you have a teenager, and you have a young adult. And this level that we have been on has been in humanity, although we have grown people. I'm talking in the black. This was outside of white people. It was almost like our teenage years. It was almost like our teenage years. We, humanity is yet to go into its adult stage. The process of creation was something that was left unfinished. The adult stage is a metamorphosis out of the physical. It was in a cocoon stage. So now, as it has to do with the oldest people on the planet, we are not going back to live in the physical as ancient Egyptians. If it was that way, we would have never fell in the first place. So that meant it was only a shell, a process, and an experience that was never supposed to be the ultimate reality. They spent the most of their years preparing for a world to come, and all of the material that we have now is talking about that same world to come, and it is the basis of our religion. Even the lowest religion you can find still talks about an end to this shit. You see what I'm saying? They might scare you about the hell, which in actuality is this shit we're living in now. You see what I'm saying? They confused it, but still get all of it, everything we have ever gotten on every evolutionary phase of spirituality talks about a new change of state.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So it's not something far-fetched than how we change state going from life to death. Right now, something is so important to you right now. Why is it it can be a day later, you can get hit by a car, and a motherfucker be out there giving away your books, giving away your TV, giving away your whole fortune? You got some people that spend 30, 40, 50 years building an empire, and their children come around and get rid of the empire, spend all the money and get rid of the empire in a matter of damn years.
Right.
Matter of months. I know some niggas got a left house, car, bank account, everything. Endless amount of material things to sustain themselves for the rest of their life. And 6 months later, niggas in the house. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Because I know a nigga got $100,000 and damn near drank it up in liquor. You see what I'm saying? You see, now the point I'm trying to make here is the state that we're talking about.
I've got about one more good one after this, but
okay. The state that we're talking about here, two aspects of it. If we did know the ultimate reality, it wouldn't be no fun of trying to get there. It's got to be something like you see. Ultimately, it's never been done before. See, I'll give you some of my states of initiation. I was doing some stuff. And I went to a certain level. And I said, well, I completed this. Let me go to the next level. And let me go to the next level. And somewhere around 2001, I started getting in a certain gray area to when somebody was asking me, well, what next? I said, I don't know. It's never been done before. We're creating as we go along. Now, on the other hand, it's kind of hard for us to contemplate what it is to be a true God and goddess. It's about like a dog, and he might say, well, let's say if a dog is going to turn to human tomorrow. He might have an idea of what it is to be a human, but it might be his idea of a dog's idea to be a human. So let's say a dog say, you know, I don't have the means as a dog to go get alpha for myself. But when I become a human, I can walk to a refrigerator and have alpha all the time.
Even a child to an adult. They don't have any idea.
They don't have idea. They will go, well, you know, when I get grown, I'm going to have ice cream every day.
They think
food coming from the refrigerator. Right,
they think food is coming from the refrigerator. Right, they think a baby is coming from the doctor or whatever.
Right.
You understand the concept here? So the dog might say, well, I'm gonna have alpha every damn night from the refrigerator or whatever. Motherfucker, you won't even be eating goddamn alpha if you are a human. So it's hard to fathom what it is. We can only go by what was left behind of people who have gone to certain levels and left all this, chronicle all this stuff here. But I want to say this before we go further than that. It's almost what I heard 10 years ago or 11 years ago, where we fall short and always getting fucking exploited by white folks and getting killed. Because even when it comes to us, we think that white folks are humane like us. And it's hard for us to fathom how a monster functions or a sociopath. A sociopath is a motherfucker, no matter what they do all over the world, they don't think they did nothing wrong. And this is the white race. They might say, we have sociopaths in our race. No, motherfucker, your race is sociopath to other races.
Exactly.
Understand what I'm saying? So they say, you can't even fathom the mind of the white man. It's such an alien to you. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why we always get trapped. We always thought that the white man think like us. I'm quite sure that Michael Jackson always thought that he could fuck them little boys and get let off the hook like a Woody Allen or any other fucking freak they done had out in Hollywood and don't understand, you a damn nigger. You see what I'm saying? And we get caught in the same shit all the fucking time. I just want to throw that in there. But anyway, going back, we only can imagine, but I can say this, and this is the greatest explanation that came to me. Take the mythology of Horus, Shiva, Vishnu, Aset, Osar, or anybody that you have admired as a high god, I'll break it down to superheroes. Because Heru and Hero is the same thing. So let's say any of your Superman, or Batman is a human with gadgets and shit.
Right.
Superman, the Hulk, or whoever got these extraordinary superhuman powers. And apply that to yourself. So your God, the one that you have applied, you would want to think that the God that you worship can do damn near anything because he's God. Well, take the same motherfucker that you did to conjure up what you thought God was and apply it to yourself. And that's some powerful shit. Like I said, one of my shit is I'm going to become a damn orgasm for a damn 1,000 years. But then again, let me break this down. I was saying that. Now, I was saying that 5 years before I broke into the tantric aspect and really found out what an orgasm is. Whenever you have that orgasm, you are actually going into another dimension and you're dwelling with the gods for a few minutes before that dimension closed back up. So in actuality, that is the euphoria of what a god is like. Goddamn.
I say goddamn.
You see what I'm saying? That is that glimpse into the divine is what you're actually experiencing or whatever. You see what I'm saying? I just hope that motherfucker don't get over on the other side. But then again, on the other hand, I don't see motherfuckers trying to come back here.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So just to give you some type of concept, and it's almost as to say, it can be what your fantasy is. Anything that you ever wanted to do or ever wanted to be or anything you ever wanted to do, you understand what I'm saying? You create it in your mind. So you might be a god, but you might have a fleet of Mercedes Benz. But I'm quite sure a god ain't really worrying about that because that's the dog again thinking it's a human. But I'm just trying to say, it's whatever it's going to be, it's going to be unimaginable.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? and are unimaginable on from this and on. So give me the other question.
All right, this is two more questions. Yeah. The last one I just came up with, I think a lot of people are going to hear. But before we go to that one, one more thing that we kind of know is we all know this shit is a phenomenon. And I'm going to speak on this a bit. Why are kids scared? Jazz was talking about this, and this is what from this question. Why are kids, no matter where you at on this planet, scared of the dark?
Okay.
No matter where you go, there's always something.
And you saw it in two movies. The new one is Darkness. They said, well, if we can harness the fears of the children from that primal fears of the children, we can bring on the dark realm.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was in the movie The Monster That Think, where the monster was trying to frighten the child to power up the monster's world from the child's screen. Well, whatever it is a form of the primordial realm that is so alien from this realm until the child is caught that the child has access to because it has not long left that primordial realm, that it found itself now in a realm where that is not conducive to the realm. But it's a child that just came from that, so it has a complete memory other than us where that is closed up. So it is experiencing the dichotomy of this realm, which is not conducive to the darkness of the primordial realm. And it's having its whatever aspect of trauma and how it reacts. It hasn't adjusted. But it just comes from that realm, so it has access to that realm. But it has to adjust to this realm, which this realm is totally alien from this. That realm.
Now, would it be any deluge type thing trying to scare him out of the darkness?
It could very well be certain entities that's trying to get them to forget or fear that realm that they just came from, which has set up a lifelong struggle
with
the darkness, because this thing follows some people into adulthood. They can only live in the dark if they got somebody living with them. Need nightlight, or they need a husband, and it happens a lot of times. It happens a lot with women because women are very spiritual. But even with adults, so you got a lot of grown people scared of the dark. So my point here is, but obviously there was some type of entity or some type of demiurge is trying to get them to be afraid of the dark, but they don't want them to develop a fondness with it. Because you got too many people developing a fondness with it, then they can see the dichotomy of how this motherfucking shit ain't shit. But why is it that women who are more spiritual, when they want to have sex, they can have sex with complete blacks because they're feeling from another world. And with me, my man, I want to see something visual. That's because we are more in this world. So I want to see some titties. That's our enjoyment. That's why we, you know what I'm saying? Our enjoyment. You know what I'm saying? I want to see her face when she has an orgasm. We get into the visual aspect, and sometimes that's our shortcoming. Because when the visual aspect becomes old, you see what I'm saying? We done fucked up in the head and we don't want the relationship no more. Whereas the sisters, they get past that from saying, like, cut out all them lights. Because they're experiencing your essence. You see what I'm saying? And they have gone back to the dark. So we can just see that in sex. You see, we can see that in sex. Where the whole aspect from belly dancing to erotic dancing in the ancient world to lap dancing in the modern world is all still centered around men. You know, we don't have a history of us gyrating in front of no damn woman and shit, because ultimately a man is ugly. And a lot of women say that men are ugly. But a lot of women do this too. A lot of women say that it is in a man's eyes and his face, in which they're mostly attracted to. I heard a survey of a lot of it. All about body stuff. Well, most people are not built like that out here. So you don't have to do some all that old body building shit. And that really don't hold. The eyes, because why? The eyes is the window to the soul. That's what they're looking at. It's the pretty eyes or whatever. It's the window to the soul. And that means if you can stare at them the right damn way, you can mesmerize yourself. Or you can get a certain look on your face, you know what I'm saying? It's a damn tool. But why is it that they're captivated by the face? Because they're looking at something beyond the face. They're looking in your eyes, which is the window to the soul. So these are a lot of things that we have to deal with on that particular level. You see what I'm saying? But I just noticed this stuff. They like it dark. And as a matter of fact, too much light interferes with the shit. You know what I'm saying? And all, you know what I'm saying? Like that and all, you know. Sometimes I just like, you know, to see the nice body or see whatever the thing he is, stuff like that. Even when I got to a spiritual level and I started looking for flaws. You see what I'm saying? I started looking for flaws. Because, like I said, I went from a level of the sister that I had for 7 years. When I was 31, I met a sister that was 20. So I was 11 years older than her. And it was all based on you, firm breath. Oh, she's 20. And then whenever we decided to part, which was a spiritual agreement, we both had ended it, the cycle had ended, and I was 38 and I was into the realm where I ended up being on a category where all the people that opened up were 40 plus. So the 40 plus on down to 20 or whatever, but mainly I was more interested in that. I started loving to see the sins and the age. You see what I'm saying? So my shit was getting erect on not the firmness, but the size. The feet and the size. And the weight. Whereas the biggest priest was gigantic.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Well, not gigantic. She was voluptuous and deeply heavy. She wasn't obese. Like she, you know, she wasn't a motherfucker. Like, you know, the Dick Gregory gotta come in there because she can't get out of the damn bed. No, but she was healthy. You see what I'm saying? You see, so the point I'm trying to make here is it's still visual, it just went to another level. And my field widened. You see what I'm saying? Widened. The young girl, I like the young girl, but that's the young girl that did it. I like the older woman for being older. I want this older woman. And stuff like that, no. You see what I'm saying? And all, you know. And then one night, I was contemplating this. Yeah, motherfucker 75. If her shit can still get right, might be a dimension to explore. But then again, on the other hand, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I got very seriously that's going to happen because I'm with this 59 and it's in game. You see what I'm saying? Not unless it's something I conjured up in my head and pretty much, you know, that's it. You see what I'm saying? What I'm trying to make here is I went beyond the certain set patterns and stuff what Western civilization says you supposed to admire or you supposed to desire. And it's a certain set pattern. My field widened because I was more spiritual. You see what I'm saying? Just because I was more spiritual. You see, so it widened and stuff like that. So it's just this. So, and that's the chaos in it. That's what chaos is. That's what chaos is. That's the chaos in it. You see what I'm saying? I even saw it happen on the earth plane when you get too much of something. They used to have a porno magazine, and from the 1950s to the 1990s, they had basically one archetype of woman. The 20s build woman. And then somewhere they had put this so much into, somewhere in the 1990s, you started seeing magazines pop up, 40 plus, 50 plus, pumpers. You see what I'm saying? Voluptuous. Bigger women and stuff like that. That's because in the chaos field, you can't, it's a cookie cutter machine is artificial. And the white boy had looked up and he had created this certain image because he was a pedophile by heart. He wanted to see every motherfucker look like the 18. Like, and it's a form of homosexuality. Right. Errol Flynn was a gay. All the niggas were Hollywood gay. And he used to fuck with these women. They was like 17 and 18. Barely legal. So he had a statutory rape case in the 1940s. 17 and 18. And when they were 10 and 19, he cut them loose. You see what I'm saying? So in so many words, the gay thing with him was, if I'm going to be with a woman, it has to be an extreme. I'm in my 40s, so she has to be 19. I can't get a woman 40. You understand? That's a form of homosexuality. With us, especially the black man. Well, I'm gay. So I got to mess with somebody 19 or 17 because it's an extreme nine. I'm fucking 35. Otherwise, I got to get the white woman because it has to be an extreme. That's the only way I'm going to be interested in a woman outside of some dookie love.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? On that particular level. Yeah. So, you know, that particular level and stuff like that and all. No way it's coming from, but hey, the fact is, yeah, okay. Give me a sip of that alcohol.
Everybody's talking, you know, we talk, you know, this is a conscious community. We have gathered.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, we're family. You know what I mean? Everybody's saying that. We have our whole family. Now, what is that? Well, what have we been? By sitting in these lectures, in these tapes, reading these books, you know what I mean? Doing it now, for instance, we touched on this thing earlier, but let's make it more public. Like Shabazz, how I know him now. When I walk into Rich, automatically, me and Rich stayed on the phone 8 hours one night. I don't do that shit with nobody.
Right, yeah.
They never even aspire to that. She'd never look for that. But, and don't even know it's that time. But I'm excited immediately because he's conscious. I feel a kinship that I don't feel with all these niggas.
Right.
Now, on the other side, will I still know Cypher? Will I communicate and
I'm going to go into a series of people, which is good. It's not for me to go into. I needed to chronicle this on tape.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it some in the lectures, but I'm going to put it all on the tape for all the people who passed that were national people that everybody knew and world people
mm-hmm.
that we got in contact with, and I'll tell you how the whole thing is done.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you will know the people. The only thing that's different is you lose your physical body. Hell, they even got people that's dead that refuse to go to the other realm because they're clinging on to people in this particular world.
Like white noise, that movie.
Well, let's put it this particular way because it leads up to this particular story. First of all, the movie Race, outside of revealing to the world he was a drug addict, even while the white boy makes it, they told us something about Hollywood. They said, number one, they will never make movies in Hollywood for black people, where there's not some form of exploitation. So before the movie Race, Ray Charles went to his grave and half the world didn't know he was a dope addict. After the movie Race, which was centered around on his drug aspect, everybody knows he's a dope addict. Mission accomplished for the Hollywood. That's the thing. But one thing's true, but always there's always something spiritual to come out of that. And one thing is spiritual that happens is this, and I've been talking about this in my lectures and the previous. When we die, we go to live in the nearest ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And so in so many words, I'm giving an example of what I'm talking about in this realm of death. My grandmother died in 1990. She visits all of her grandchildren and all of her children, except me. There's a reason why that is. But two things happen. They notice her presence in the house. But in actuality, he lives in all of their bodies. When I asked her why you didn't come to visit me, she said, because I can't get in the house, as her language is talking about, or on that realm and where you are. Because I have gone to the realm of the gods. You see what I'm saying? And she's down on that level. So I'm explaining to you what has happened. That I initially told you at the beginning of the lecture. And so based on where her consciousness was, and based on where I was, she can visit all the rest of my brothers, my two brothers, my mama, and all her children, but she can't come where I am, and not that she can't enter in my body, or she can't enter, or she can stay in the lower aspect, and who want to stay around the PC.
Right, right.
But she cannot enter. She can't enter in the house or whatever because it's different plateaus. But they do go to live in others. Let me give you an example also about going back to the bathroom.
If you had been
to the bathroom, you forgot it. No, not getting that now.
Inside of the family. We are all one. You see what I'm saying? And so one sister said that she had a guy that died in 76. And she said last summer, she was in love with him and she died. She felt all that over again. I said, because he's inside of you also. You see what I'm saying? He's inside of you also. So the movie, Ray, when he went through his drug thing, he got to a certain level, and ordered him to kick it. His mother and the little when they were children, that he always blamed himself for, they all showed up. And the mother said, no, you can't blame him for that because that didn't happen. You're not to blame for him dying and all the kind of things he himself. And he turned around and said, I wish you were there for my career. They said, we were always there. Because they were living inside of him. As a matter of fact, probably some of his talent comes from there. You see what I'm saying? Comes from there. You see this documentary on Earth and Fire. Maurice White, he talks about how they wanted to get to a higher level and met up with a guy named Charles Stephanie, who came on board on the movie, on the album Open Our Eyes. With Mighty Mighty and Peter Boston and this album was with Shining Star. That's the way of the world. We catapulted them into another level in just a basic soul group. And then they did Gratitude, which is good, where you got Can't Hide Love, which is another world song. It's so simple, but it's so goddamn profound, the sound of it. And then they did Spirit, and then Charles Stephanie, while working with that guy, he was the producer. He died. He was co-producer with Maurice White. And then Maurice White said, Larry Dunn, who was the keyboard player with the big asshole, he said he was at the keyboard when he passed, and he played some strange notes. And then Maurice White said, after he died, he said it was almost like he had a voice from the other side. He said, and the music went to even another level. And as a result, by that time, he did the famous album, All in All, with the Ramesses tomb and the pyramid on the cover and the whole layout on the inside with all of the lyrics. So he went to another realm and stuff and all. So we're talking about Charles Stephanie and all the came apart. He said, well, I'm going to have a voice from the other side. He was in him. It's like the Highlander. You cut off the head, all the energy goes into the Highlander, and in the end can only be one. And the only reason why he gets better and better each time he has the quickening is because he has the power of the damn ones he takes. That's why I know that the tsunami, which killed 160,000 souls, majority of them was indigenous people. You see what I'm saying? Even if they were Asian, they were somewhat closer to the indigenous and white folks that hit Europe. But for a month, I said, we can barely get to sleep. Rough, you know, house in the sleep, dreams, living, all kind of things, rough sleep and all that, because all that energy is in sacrifice and it makes us stronger. So every time a person dies, we become stronger. So the reason why we are conscious now is because we had a lot of black people die in gang warfare, diet, fucked up this, heart attack, and just all the thousands of black men and all that just died from the last 15 years on up. Just turmoil everywhere. Just killing and all that. We become stronger because of that. That's the Highlander aspect. You see what I'm saying? Sucking up those souls. It's the same thing you saw in the first Mortal Kombat. God was sucking the energy up out of them, and when they're killing them, all them spirits was up in them. You get strong and strong and strong and built upon that type of aspect and stuff. Yeah.
How, you know, us overstanding the aspect of synonymous the cracking mystery of how last time we broke the mystery of government cheese. That ties into a chemical aspect of our genocide, but that mystery, how that was the people to crack and overstanding that, we chopped off the head of that epidemic and now we catapulted to another realm. After how you broke it down.
Of just surviving that epidemic, period. It makes you stronger. It's a transformation. Even in the movie, even in Star Wars, before Obi-Wan Kenobi died, before Darth Vader killed him, he said, remember now, you kill me, I'm only going to get stronger. You see what I'm saying? He became a super teacher after that. You know, after that. So we talk about that same essence. What that is. Give me some questions.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more of a elaboration on the first question now. Make it more specific. Me and Shabazz. That's like my brother.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We off the cuff. So now, and it's a quickness. Recognize. So me and him both on the other side.
I want to say one thing first about that before we get into that.
Okay.
Because you started off on something about the consciousness.
Right, making it personal to...
Let me tell you what the deal is. I do know this. Mm-hmm. About 11, 12 years ago, C.P. Manel, I was taking a meditation class up under him. And he said, remember, like every motherfucker in this room, we all knew each other in a past life. And we agreed to come back to do this work and meet back up. Said that by 12, that was in 1992. Now, it's interesting here, because I was just mostly in 93 and stuff, so it's been about a little over 11 years ago, and the funny thing about it is, I was in Philadelphia day before Christmas, day after Christmas. I was in Chicago on the 12th of December. On the 12th of December. And I was in Cleveland before that in November and Virginia outside of December, outside of D.C. in November. And it was almost like every time I entered into the room of those conscious people, it was almost like you being in the same place at the same time because the consciousness was amongst conscious people was like a zone that I never, although I was in different cities, I interfaced with them and I was never outside of the same zone. So that meant that he is right. We are all here. Even the ones sitting in the lectures or the ones doing stuff, we are all here. You see what I'm saying? Because we all knew each other in past lives. And this is nothing but what they call the great gathering. And you hear all about the gathering and you hear all this stuff. They even got role-playing games on the gathering. This, the gathering and all that type of stuff. The gathering, ultimately, that they even talked about in Highlander, the first one. The gathering is all the conscious about of the earth, which is synonymous only to us, the indigenous people, and we are nothing but the heads of the indigenous people of Africa, Libya, East India, or whatever. It had to be us, because we're the ones that's privy to the information. The great gathering they're talking about is what's going on now. Now folks don't understand it, and I know other people and stuff, because they overestimate us, underestimate us. But the gathering, what we're dealing with at this particular time is the great gathering. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what they were talking about in Highlander. They even gave the location. They said we were supposed to walk the earth as these immortal beings, never really dying, which means in actuality death is only an illusion. We're just taking on different bodies in different incarnations. That's what it's really talking about. They say until the time of a great gathering in a land not established yet. Well, at that particular time, that's probably the 1300s or something. But they say in a land not established yet. They were talking about, and what happened in that movie, the first one? They gathered in America. You see what I'm saying? That's what's going on with us. That's what's going on with us. You know, and the Highlander can only be one. It can only be one group of people, the conscious. And as a result, we take on the energy of all them damn people that died. We got their energy, and now we're gathering. You understand what I'm saying? For the final quickening. And all of the gatherings that have taken on over the course of the last so many years is still a form of the gathering. And that's what it is. And we are all a part of it because we agreed to do this motherfucking shit a long time ago. That's why you got a lot of people in greater trouble because they became conscious and they chose not to do nothing with it. Like C.T. Mill was out there and I said, he's conscious. He said, man, I'm fucked up. He said, I went to jail for a couple of years for something I did not do. And C.T. Mill said, you damn right. You went to jail for something you didn't do. You were supposed to do something, and you didn't come up to the plate and do it. So therefore, the cops will put you in jail for something you didn't do. He was supposed to pull up to his responsibility. So then, that, I guess that would lead me to the next question: is what are we gathering for? What's this great work we do? The great work is to figure out and prepare for the next stage because we pretty much own it. We didn't think. Remember now, with me, the stuff, me the consciousness where I am now, you see what I'm saying, has been for the last 15 years. So I can look at this shit. I'm talking about as far as this in the metaphysical thing for the last 14 years. So I'm looking at this thing way into the game, real bad. We on the threshold. You see, we on the threshold. I don't motherfucker had to suffer. I'm just telling you my experience. I had to suffer getting up every day of the 90s. Just to make sure to be over with. And it's killing myself. Wanted to be over with. You know. And I'm so calm now. And everyone said, well, why you don't worry about it being over like that now? Because I'm already in the hospital. Especially when I just got tired of it and living in the process. Me and my woman live up every day in paradise. Knowing that I'm already there. Just my physical body hadn't caught up with it yet. But I'm already there. So
question in here is to well and stuff and stuff like that, because you are a rougher really is you represent every motherfucker. I don't think you got to say a team or wherever they are. They got a soul. You represent them in some kind of connection. They just have to have a high key to the group. It's just the real ones, it's just the ones that can be according to the information. Now talk about how they just don't have the group. They can't go to the bookstore in the apartment or in the collision and buy some shit. We got niggas and all right this kind of thing. They act like they're buying a damn book. It's like buying a motherfucking house. And we don't even understand, but we just telling you to do that type thing. Because other people can't go to no bookstore and buy some stuff. Oh, better yet, we don't have to buy those books no more. We got laid out shit on tape. There's so much information and shit. You feel what I'm saying? We trying to decide for whether that nigga telling the truth or not.
Right, right,
right. But there's so much knowledge, we being inundated with knowledge.
Right.
Sometimes you like, goddamn. I just want to crack a motherfucking cold one and scratch my fucking ass. You see what I'm saying? Or put on that porno and shit.
Right, right, right.
You see what I'm saying? That's my highlight right now.
Yeah.
Seeing some woman with some cum splattered over her face. I can say that because I done did the damn work. Porn, I'm
saying so. So now, we get addicted like, you know, Rich, Tess, Roswell. We get in these zones, you know, we on the phone, we laughing and enjoying certain things to be addicted. Will we experience that when we, like, say, just take me and Shabazz, for example, on the other side? Can we still enjoy whatever it is we define as enjoyment here?
You got to understand something. Psychedelic made a damn album in 1983. We are one.
Mm-hmm.
We are not local. And we are not foreign.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason why you're not thinking it, that I'm not a connection and you're talking to me and a form of your own soul is this physical body is telling you that we're two different species and you focus on that kind of shit. There's no way that you can't do it in shit like here and I, because right now, even in the physical, even in the doggone physical, right now you could be thinking some shit across the way. And this nigga might call you. You already connected. You already connected. The other night, me and my girl was sitting there. She said, I'm fucking stomach in here. I said, wait a minute. Hold on one minute. Let me go in here and do my shit. Take two glasses of water and throw up. She said, oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Right, right, right.
Right. You know what I'm saying? To be shit.
Right.
Last time I was here, we did the Babylonian 2 that shit. A couple of weeks before, I said, look, I said, my eyes are getting blurred. Go piss in a cup in the morning that first pee. And first you got to pee so the bacteria come out. And then in midstream, you pull up a cup. And I put the shit in my eyes. Put the shit in my eyes and shook some of the motherfucking shit. So that was about 2 weeks before coming here. Eyesight, everything is hooked up. So I'm in the bathroom. I did the Babylonian that two lectures. I go in the bathroom and start pissing, and I can smell her piss coming out of my, coming up with a part of me for damn near a month. You could have said for damn near a month. We are connected. We are connected. You see what I'm saying? On that particular level. We so connected, now I know. Men have a distinct smell than women in the genital area. You start fucking in them hormones and all that kind of stuff, you talk about science here. Those cells and all that stuff start molding together. And what damn I say? Put my hand down there. What the fuck? I smell of her. Not stink. We're not talking about fucking ranching or something like that. We just talk about their essence. We're talking about the essence. Even when I come up in their clean and shit, I know how to smell. I'm shit. I get down that motherfucker about an hour before I come up. And shit, I'm talking about her essence because those are that's what the whole fancy shit is. I can actually not smell her because I just, you know, I'm talking about
We might not even have sex in a week. And I'm someplace out of town. I can smell something. The shit is mud. I ain't talking about no down here. I'm just mad together. Yeah. So that means in actuality, we are not separated. You were nowhere near. That's the only reason why we came back together. And the only thing you have done is gather a part of yourself that used to be one in the first place. It ain't nothing but we all connected and the shit got shattered. And it's just like you see your thing get cut up and the next thing you know it's going to recruit back together and connect back together. We are all one chain. We are all one chain. The zodiac is different houses, but it's still connected at the middle point, the dot, the black dot. You see what I'm saying? At the black dot. So we are all one on that particular aspect. To give an example, it's like being one and the stuff all coming back together. But some movie that I saw. I know what it is. It's like one of the best vampire movies that came out is the one called John Carpenter's Vampire. And they were talking about he had been bitten and only take 24 hours before he establishes the vampire link, a psychic link. So that means that we were all one. But they call it the kindred. The witches call it the coven. You see what I'm saying? It's the same aspect. It's the same aspect. You see? Yeah. Yeah.
One
was
going, the other one was going from the other side.
Right. It's a connection like that, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, let me go into some things. I'll give you a couple of examples of some things. Simone. I was talking about. She went to the Mexican pyramids down there in Mexico. She called me from the pyramids. Come down in Mexico, what to do? I said, well, do some type of ritual. She said she had a proper tarot card, so she did some tarot ritual down there. So she came back. When she came back, I said, now she's ready to be opened up. And I called on God down, and he came through her and opened her up. So I have this night. I opened up about 4 or 5 women to the psychic realm. And so I opened her up. So she was so good. She was only 29. She was so good, too. She had a knack for calling up dead folks. So what I did was I called up a couple of people. I called up Tupac for popular purposes. I know the niggas don't want to hear about that.
Yeah.
And he did mention that he realized, without all his ignorance, he realized, right before he died, he did have a power to move people, and he was getting ready to bring it into the consciousness on that level, and start talking about that, and he took him out. Call up Biggie. Biggie was talking, and Biggie said, well, how Puffy benefited from his death. I said, if Puffy was in on it, he said, no, Puffy wasn't in on the death, he said, but Puff Daddy, knew and knows to this day the people who had him bumped off.
That's right.
That's what he told me. So I was getting ready, to go to somebody else. And he came back to me and said, I'm sorry. And I said, why are you sorry? He said, I could have done more with my talent. He was talking about, I could have done more based on the conscious thing. I'm like, but what is, you didn't know it.
Right. Exactly.
So I talked to him, talked to Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye came. And I said, so what's up with your father? He said, no. When he said this, I knew what he was talking about. He said, no, there was somebody else up in the room. That's the way the government killed you. They'll have somebody up in the room and kill your ass and the father. You see what I'm saying? By him being halfway crazy, they blame the whole thing on him. But then again, on the other hand, what can you do? What can you do? They say that's got something to do. What's the boy that just shot his limo driver in the NBA? He
got it. Jason Williams. They said, talk about, that might have been a setup. Because they said he got a whole lot of money from the NBA and then he retired. And didn't finish his contract. So it's still over that money. Them motherfuckers said, man, you know who the fuck you fucking with. And they say he was a part up in there, and another motherfucker shot this motherfucker. Said, now get out of that, bitch. This is a message from the NBA. Now that nigga trying to come back and play.
Yeah, he's trying to come back and play.
And they can do shit like that. Now, interesting, the other part was, one of the sisters, they call baby nurses, and they go and move in. When rich folks have babies, they'll have this person come in, and they teach the mama how to be a mother. And this woman said that, she was the actual baby nurse for him, and she said that the wife could confide in him, saying that because he got a white mama.
Yes.
That she said that he got always had his white folks around him, and the wife, although she was black, she said, I'm concerned. She's always, and even one of his boys turned against him and stuff and all this kind of thing. She was like saying, you know, I'm kind of concerned. He always got these white folks around him. So it's that kind of thing here. But I'm going back to the thing with Marvin Gaye. With the same thing. If somebody else in the room that killed him, he said. And because it was a knockoff, he said, yeah. He said, because, and I said, well, why did they kill you? He said, yeah, but just like I said in my lecture. He was getting ready to tap into this whole sexual thing and bring this romantic thing and a new form of romance and sexual thing to the next level. You see, from the next level. You see, he was getting ready to do that. And they bumped him off. I talked to a guy named Felipe Wayne. You know, Felipe Wayne was from the Spinners, died in 1982. With hell, talent. He said that he left the Spinners, but they can see the Demiurge can tell you. The Demiurge can tell you where the talent is, and they tell him the power of that dude. You need to bump them off, but that's a sign in you. That motherfucker there is extraordinary. So he said that he had left the Spinners, and he was different thing. They said that he was got rid of that. Because I talked to Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X, and he said, oh, we together. We running buddies. Now, although I got that from Simone, I had gotten that years earlier from some other ones, and each time Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad was together. I talked to Marcus Garvey. He was in a certain plateau. I even talked to Emmett Till, and he was happy because his mother had just made the transition. And he said him and his mother had reunited, and it was a real joyful occasion and stuff. I talked to Sam Cooke. He said, yes, Nelson. He said, yeah, I actually was killed by the Jews because I wouldn't agree that they have all the, you know, they say, you know, what you leaving us? Because it's all about whether they can control you. That's what he said. And
all right, you guys, there is literally 2 minutes left. I was into it as well, so I lost track of time. 2 minutes left. I love you guys. Love you, love you, love you, love you. Please join us always, you know, at Enhancing Awareness Radio. We love you guys. I'm going to put the show notes and the clips. And, yeah, guys, love you to life. And till next time, peace.
Last night I dreamed I'm a
concert. So many people, you had to stand in line. One night only in slow heaven. I didn't want to wake up. I was having such a good time. All of the barcade were tuning up on stage. Jimmy had his
you, even though I've said we're through, causing you, nigga. She was my main girl, I'm still committed. It was me and you. You said you wouldn't tell, but you saved my voicemails. But I always knew. So cry, cry till you drown your face. Bitch, I give a damn how harsh this may seem. Hit up, put your heart in its place. Chained up in the bottom of the lake. Now let the water fall. 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 I was the innocent bystander. She had etiquette. She good manners. Pretty little thing. Great little body. Never in magazines. Never after parties. And I could sense it then. But it didn't matter, as long as me and you were together. Thought it was better than that. I'll never let you back to me. Oh boy, sweetly, I sent your photos to TMZ.
Now cry, frown your face.
Bitch, I could give a damn, my heart's dismayed. Sing,
get up, put your heart in its place. Chained up at the bottom of the lake. Now let the water fall. Now let the water fall. Now let the water fall.
Chained up at the bottom of the lake. Now let the water fall. Now let the water fall. Down with the waterfall.
know.